A service for the second Sunday of Easter, April the 12th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this Easter season, we are remembering that we, as an Easter people, have high hopes. Truly, they are the highest. We hope to live in a state of bliss after we die. We don't only hope to live as ghosts, we hope to live as the people we now are, only better versions, still having a soul and a body. Why would we hope for this joyful existence? It is because of what has been given to us. St. Peter, in his epistle, speaks about what we received. He begins by praising God, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this is why. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. This means that we who were once hopeless, This is because, according to Psalm 51, we were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. According to Romans 6, it points out the reality of how the wages of sin is death. Nothing good was headed our way. But then, due to his mercy, we were born again into this living hope that we have now received. So how is this possible for sinners like you and me? Our text says that it has happened through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, all praise be to Jesus, who was sent to us by the Father. Jesus, God's one and only Son, became a human being like us, except that he was without sin. He then allowed the guilt of our sins to be placed upon him. Jesus took them to the cross, whereupon he was nailed. In great agony, Jesus yielded his spirit in death. His shed blood pays the remission of all our sins, and we know it to be true, for the Father verified this transaction through Jesus' resurrection upon Easter. And just how are you and I born again? Some people are confused by this language. Nicodemus was one who had been. He asked Jesus for clarification. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Yes, for most of us, our new birth occurred when water was applied to us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, the same Spirit of God came down upon you and me, washing away the guilt of our sins in the blood of Jesus when we were baptized. We were then given faith by which we received new birth into this living hope. Therefore, what this means is that due to our new birth into the family of God, we are the recipients of an inheritance. And believe me, this is no ordinary inheritance, one that we can squander, lose, or from which we can be cheated. No, this one is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Yes, it's ours. It was bought at the highest price, and there's nothing that can separate us from it, other than our own willful rejection of it. Sadly, many never receive it, not having known the way of salvation. No one ever came to tell them about it. However, what is worse is that there are others who have received it, but later rejected it, returning to sin and unbelief. This is both dangerous and tragic, though not yet unreversible. It is something that all of us would default to due to the power of sin that still dwells within us. However, our living hope is also in God's power to sustain us in our faith in Him. Peter makes it clear that by God's power you and I have been guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Philippians 1 says something similar, that He who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Understand that God has graciously chosen to work through means that will sustain our faith to either the end of our lives or until Jesus returns. These means are His living Word as well as the sacrament of His Holy Supper. Therefore, we gather here that we might hear His word and receive the supper. We listen to His word at home. We fellowship with other Christians who speak God's word to our own situations. We respond to the word in our prayers and with our praises. We are filled with joy thanks to this living hope. As our text points out, in this you rejoice. Happy indeed are we for having been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, kept for us in heaven. What great and magnificent things await us! This hope into which we have been reborn brings us great joy now. But there's something confusing that still happens to us. Evil befalls us seemingly without end. In fact, evil may befall us for no other reason than that we have hope in Christ. Our text addresses this reality. It says that now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. This little while of which he speaks is our whole lives through in this world. Various trials keep coming our way, one after another. They may be related to our living conditions, our physical or mental health, our financial situations, our relationships with family and friends, the passing away of loved ones. Though it's a beautiful world in which we live, it remains very much a fallen world. Just consider the wars that are being fought. Then there are the diseases which wreak havoc. Sometimes we are spared, but at other times we or our loved ones are not. Why is it that we are so often grieved by various trials? Well, our text today has an answer. We are told that God allows these so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This explains that the reason why the Lord allows evil to come our way is to purify our faith. In a refining process, metal is heated up. This is never pleasant. However, through the process, the impurities and dross are burned away, resulting in an end product that is purer and more valuable. Our love for the world, as it now is, grows cold. Our faith in God and the inheritance that awaits believers heats up. On the first Sunday after Easter, The disciples were in need of this, especially one named Thomas. He had not been present the previous week when Jesus came to the others behind locked doors. Though they told him of it, he was not going to believe them. He issued this challenge: "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And then Thomas did believe. This is because 1 week later Jesus again came and stood among them. He invited Thomas to reach out and touch him. Thomas could only respond, "My Lord and my God." The resurrected Christ had restored his hope. Thomas's faith grew purer. My friends, Jesus comes to us in his own way too, as we go through trials and tribulations, strengthening our faith. We grow closer to him due to them. Though we don't seek suffering, we realize that it can be good for us. St. Paul came to realize that this as he dealt with what he calls a thorn in his flesh, speaking of whatever it was as a messenger of Satan. He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." However, this was not to be, for God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul's faith, too, was being strengthened and his hope renewed as he was taught to rely even less upon himself and more upon the power of Christ. He states, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, and hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Therefore, don't let sin in this fallen world, nor your sinful nature, nor the devil, rob you of your faith and hope, regardless of the various trials you have endured, are enduring, or will yet endure. We don't get to see Jesus as Thomas once did. However, our text concludes, "Though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You and I do well to keep in mind these things. They help us through the trials and tribulations that come our way. These are good for us, for they keep us humble and faithful and hopeful. After all, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.